Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Well, here we are. It's another Tuesday.
That's right.
After a good weekend.
Hey,
glad
Josh.
To be with you. Yeah, no, sorry. Yes, this is Josh.
And I'm Scott.
Yeah, trying not to like start it exactly the same way.
And I forced you to.
I'm Scott. Old habits die hard.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're back. Great weekend together. Continued on in Acts. Why don't you give us a little overview of the sermon on Sunday?
Yeah. I hope people are okay with the pace that we're taking in Acts. It's interesting when you're preaching through a book of the Bible. Maybe some people think, oh, you're going a little slow. Let's pick the pace up. Then I'll say to other people, you know, I need to pick the pace up so we won't go so slow. And they will say, man, you could do this for the next 2 years. Just slow down. We're not going anywhere. Nobody's in a hurry. So we have different opinions on the pace of things.
Yeah.
But we dealt with a little bit shorter passage on Sunday. Yeah. And it was Acts 13, and we're still in the missionary journey. And Paul and Barnabas enter a city called Antioch, which, again, I try to encourage people, don't get confused by all the names and all the locations, and particularly because there are two different Antiochs.
Right.
This is not the one they were sent from. Mm-hmm. It's the one which is in Syria. This is the one that's further west in a different region. It's called Antioch.
But not so far west that it's in Nashville.
I was going to say, nor is it the one in the southeast corner of Davidson County.
That's right.
Antioch. So they're there, and they're preaching the gospel, and it gets mixed response. The leadership of the Jewish synagogue rejects it, becomes jealous. That was a key theme Sunday, yep. Jealousy, and what it drives us to. And then they actually stirred up people to persecute them.
Yeah.
And ran them out of town. However, many Gentiles and believing Jews came to faith, were disciples, and it ends on the beautiful note that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And I just thought that was a beautiful description. A result of the gospel and the Holy Spirit is that they had joy, and it was a beautiful description of this church. In a difficult setting, you know. I mean, they were synagogue members, and the leadership is unhappy.
Yeah.
With the preaching of Jesus, but they're still there, and they've received the gospel, and they have joy that would sustain them. So that was the overview, focused on joy.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing about. I want to ask more about joy in a second, but I think that is an interesting thing about Acts. Is like when we've read Acts in the past. You know, the things that stick out in your mind are kind of the highlights, right? The blowing and going, the exciting and amazing things that happen. But sometimes we forget that there was opposition. Mm-hmm. There were times when things weren't going maybe the best. There was maybe opportunities to look at the glass half empty instead of half full or something. It'd be easy to focus on the difficulties rather than...
that's right.
Yeah, so...
Which is, I mean, I can certainly relate to that. You know, you're dealing with issues and problems and decisions and, you know, stuff that's hard, and you can kind of lose the hope that the future's good and that God is in all things. And
so it was a
personal sermon for me. It's you know, return to the joy of the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah, for sure. And so you have them in this joyful position. And I think that's probably the place where a lot of people find some tension or just some questions about how to apply this, because when you just tell people to rejoice, you know, I think about Paul in Philippians, you know, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice, you know, like, and to somebody who's maybe just not as, and you have people that are naturally just kind of like bright side, happy-go-lucky kinds of people. And we look at those people and we equate that with spiritual maturity. And some of us are a little bit, I don't know, less so.
Yeah.
And some people might say, well, they're not obeying. So the question would be, like, what does rejoicing look like? Is it something that you just kind of force yourself to do? Is it a function of the will? Like, what does it look like?
Well, there's kind of two different questions, because what does it look like, but is it something you force yourself to do? So, mm-hmm. I mean, on the first one, what does it look like? I'm always careful not to judge it by outward expressions only.
Yeah.
There are many people who have a deep and abiding joy, meaning they have a sense. What is joy? They have a good sense of God and salvation and the future, because they really do have a vision of God. And so it puts in them a deep and abiding sense or feeling of mm-hmm. of what's the word? Joy.
Yeah.
So but you might not like go around saying they're just so outwardly exuberant. Mm-hmm. But we also know people who are very outward going, but internally they're struggling. So what does it look like? You have to be careful not to judge it by someone's outward emotions or natural temperament or something like that. But rejoice is a command, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so what does rejoicing look like? It looks like a person who says, I'm going to place my joy and my hope in God. And I'm going to look to the things that are real in him, so that I can have joy, and I'm going to fix my mind there, and then I'm going to speak about it, mm-hmm. speak in ways that exemplify it. I think that's rejoicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's this sort of lighthearted, happy feeling all the time.
Yeah.
Joy can abide in the midst of deep seriousness and deep, even sorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I think it seems to me, I'm trying to think of like how we tease that out a little bit more. Happiness might be connected more to our present state mm-hmm. and the way we feel about things. It seems like joy is a bit more connected to a hope that we have in something
yeah.
that doesn't necessarily have to do with our immediate circumstances. Mm-hmm. It's maybe more in a certainty about something that's happening in the future or mm-hmm. something like that with the Lord. So how would you say we develop our joy? Like, how do we get to that place if we're not feeling in that moment?
So cultivating joy is, I think, something that we should do, and, mm-hmm. and we should try to do it. And I think that, first of all, you start with truth. You start mentally.
Yeah.
With God and with God's grace. And meaning his salvation, and you keep going with the future in God, mm-hmm. and you fix your mind there, because that's where the truth is.
Yeah,
and you stay there, and then I think you start to preach that truth to yourself in your circumstances, and you pray that God will cause it to seep down into your soul, mm. so that you have a sustaining strength, a sustaining joy. The joy of the Lord mm-hmm. can be our strength. It's much deeper than you mentioned the word happiness. So sensory pleasures, you know, can make people happy. You can say I take great joy in something, but really what it is, it's a moment of relief or it's a moment of pleasure, and it made you happy. And that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but that won't, it's not going to last until your next hit of happiness.
Right.
Joy is deeper than that. In fact, I would say to enjoy nature, you say, well, that's what makes me happy, nature. Yes, but you can also connect it to God who created all things. Mm-hmm. And that can lead you then to understand that God is sovereign, that he's orderly, you know, that there are seasonal, that life does go in seasons. Those kinds of things put a deeper confidence in you that you could describe as joy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't force joy. You cultivate joy, and you don't, in cultivating it, you focus somewhere else.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say that it would be counterproductive to try to force joy, because you're overly focused on the joy. Mm. I would say focus on something outside of yourself, like God and like the grace of God in salvation and like the work of God in your life currently and the future with God. In heaven, in the resurrected state, resurrected body, and you're focusing somewhere else, and that's going to bring you great joy. Hmm. So you cultivate it by focusing elsewhere on reality and on truth.
Yeah, I think that term cultivate is much more helpful than just do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think kind of the tilling the soil of our hearts, getting us in a place where we're ready to receive something from the Lord. Mm-hmm. That seems like something someone could do.
You can do that. You can pursue it. With, mm-hmm. you know, forcing your emotions is really a hard thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
But focusing your mind and therefore your desire and your hope mm-hmm. on something outside of yourself is a much more doable thing to do, because you just kind of lose the sense of forcing an emotion, and you just kind of give yourself over to God and to truth, and then it has that effect of bringing a deeper confidence into our lives.
Mm, that's great. It makes me think of Psalm 42:43. You know, mm-hmm. like he's having a rough time. We don't really know exactly what, mm-hmm. but he keeps talking to himself, right? Preaching to mm-hmm. himself. Why mm-hmm. are you cast down, O my soul? Mm-hmm. Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. So he's in the midst of his circumstances. He's doing kind of exactly what you're talking about, mm-hmm. where he's redirecting his attention to the Lord, what the Lord has done for him, mm-hmm. what he's confident that the Lord will do for and in him and with him in the future. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't necessarily get to a place, I think, at the end of 42 where you're like, he made it. You know, mm-hmm. like he was happy in that moment.
Yeah.
But he's doing, I think, it sounds like the activity that you're describing here, where he's trying to focus in on who is the Lord in the midst of this.
Yeah, he describes his circumstances, and then he turns his attention beyond his circumstances to God.
That's right.
Think of Jesus. It says that he for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he looked somewhere else beyond the cross. He looked mm-hmm. at the result of the cross, the accomplishment of the cross. He's looking beyond. And that good thing that he sees out there brings joy into his soul. And that gets him through the pain that he's got to go through to get there, which is the cross.
Yeah.
It's that way with us. We have to keep looking out of ourselves, look to the Lord, know his grace, I mean, why were these people in Antioch joyful? Because they had realized the grace of God. They had realized their salvation. They can now look to a future of no condemnation and a future of full reconciliation to God and a future of the newness that God will bring. They're looking out.
Yeah.
That's bringing them joy in the present. It's going to get them through the persecution that they likely suffered when Paul and Barnabas left town.
Okay.
So it's the cultivation of that kind of mindset that brings joy.
Okay. So if we're trying to really heavily apply this, maybe there's a cultivating that we need to do even when things are just going fine to prepare us for that.
Yes.
Right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Use the things that are legitimate that God has given that bring joy. Mm-hmm. Use them. Of course, we say this, we come back to the same things over and over but we need to add to it. So, of course, the Word of God is truth. We have to love God with our minds. Mm-hmm. And prayer, how joyful is that to know that you have a listening God?
Right.
And the community, the church, with each other, building each other up. But also, there are other legitimate ways that we can cultivate joy by connecting God to them. We mentioned nature. I take pleasure from being out in nature, but I can take joy in being out in nature when I connect it to God's power mm-hmm. and know that this is a gift. So we can receive all things, relationships with family, legitimate, helpful, godly relationships with family and friends.
Yeah.
Work, you know, you can gain a sense of accomplishment, but you can get deep joy when you know that God gave you the work. So all these are legitimate means that God gives us to enjoy what we're doing because we're connecting it to God's grace and really also to a future that matters, because we're gonna be with Him in the renewed everything, the renewed relationships, the renewed work, the renewed nature, the new heaven, new earth.
Okay,
these are the things that God has given us to cultivate joy, and we can use them.
Okay. Well, this week we can work to do that cultivating, and then we'll continue to cultivate on Sunday
together.
There
you go. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.